Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we talk about the latest shooters for the fall season and take an in-depth look at Battlefield 2042. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain.
Hey, Dennis, it's that time of year. If you're looking at the calendar, it is almost Black Friday. And you know what that means, Dennis?
Not another top 10 list.
Oh, no. Not another top 10 list. That's right. This time of year, we tend to look at the most anticipated stuff or talk about holiday shopping or something along those lines. And
something to consume your money.
That's right. And I thought, well, let's do that, but let's do it differently.
Okay. So what did you have in mind this time?
Well, Dennis, this year, there are three hot game releases, anticipated game releases even. That's right. The three top FPS, that's first-person shooter games, have updates. So I thought, Dennis, that we'd take a quick look at those three, at least where they're at today. Two are available, and the third should be by the time this podcast goes live, and see which one earns your money, and spend a little bit extra time, because my dear and loved franchise Battlefield is one of those, on the Battlefield release.
Well, you have that game though, right?
I do. I pre-ordered it, which, yeah, we'll talk about that.
Shouldn't pre-order games. That's silly.
I know. But, you know, those skins or something.
Okay. Should we talk about the games?
Yeah, let's do. So I wanted to start off by just kind of introducing the three games. We are talking, of course, about Battlefield 2042, mm-hmm. which released as of today on Friday, 2 days ago. That's 11/19.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Vanguard, the latest in the Call of Duty franchise, which released on 11/5/2020, if you're just tuning into this from a different timeline. Mm-hmm. And Halo, the new Halo Infinite.
Infinite.
Which is finally coming back to PC on 12/8.
It's almost a PC and Xbox exclusive. They're not doing PlayStation with that game.
Well, that doesn't surprise me too much because, you know, it's always been kind of an Xbox, Microsoft thing. But the fact that they're doing it... that's kind of cool because they haven't done a Halo on PC since the original title way, way back when. Mm. I feel like we could look it up, but grow old trying to find it.
Well, I have it, actually. I have it on the original Xbox, and I have it for PC, and I can probably count on one hand how many hours I've played.
So Halo Infinite is the future game, so we don't know a lot about it except for folks that got in on the alpha beta stuff. And the early buzz is really terrific. But as of today, I haven't played it. So I'm going to spend the least amount of time talking about it, except for to say, Dennis, mm-hmm. that this might be the year that we start playing Halo again.
Halo's always had that co-op mode. I think that would be awesome.
Halo seems to have the most content at day one, the most buzz, and I think it's going to have cross-play, so you'll be able to beat up on your friends on the Xbox again.
Aw, isn't that sweet?
Let's talk then about Call of Duty Vanguard. Now, Call of Duty, to me, is kind of like the Madden franchises or the FIFA franchises. Every year, we get a new COD title.
Yeah, or the Fast and Furious.
Yeah, we got to get a Fast and Furious. And in a way, that's maybe not a bad description because the Call of Duties tend to get, to me at least, a little more ridiculous. I haven't gotten serious about one since COD 4, to be honest with you.
COD 4, I still play that game. Sometimes.
Truly a great game. Now, I have played some of the newer ones, but like many gamers, I gravitated towards the zombie play because I think that's pretty fun, mm-hmm. the zombie survival.
Well, the thing with COD was that you can't reinvent the military shooter looter. Well, you don't really loot, but it's a game on rails if you play it in first-person mode. That was something right. that I complained about with Black Ops, where, yes, you can run across a bridge, but since you triggered a point where you have to fall off the bridge, you back up at that cutscene, and that was just really annoying. That shouldn't be how games are, but that is the on-rails sort of mentality. And then the big claim for Call of Duty was multiplayer. That was where it excelled and where everybody bought that game, was just to get online and frag people in multiplayer maps of increased diversity?
And,
I don't know.
And complexity, really.
Yeah, they just started adding more to it, but they didn't really add much to the game because you always had the same weapon set. It might change the era where you're fighting, but not so much, whereas Battlefield would jump around in different eras. You know, it's like you're time traveling. Call of Duty was kind of the same.
Yeah. I mean,
we might go World War II, and then we go to modern era, and then we kind of go back to Vietnam. And
Well, they haven't really taken any chances. They did the future stuff and mm-hmm. it wasn't love, but at least it was different. Mm-hmm. But let's take a look, Dennis, at what, using Metacritic as our pulse, since we're not either one of us Call of Duty fans. So by way of a baseline, I went back to Call of Duty 4, which to me I consider still the greatest Call of Duty game that I've played. Mm-hmm. And it is sitting on Metacritic at a historical 92 from the critics, which is really awesome out of 100. And the user score of 8.5 out of 10, which makes it one of the strongest reviewed shooters ever.
Yes. This was released back November 5th, 2007. So
still a fairly active community out there. I like it. Now, Vanguard, now keep in mind, Vanguard is just barely out, but it is sitting at a very impressive 73 for the critic score. World War II combat, really? Origins of the Special Forces? It sounds exciting. Yeah. Has a campaign, but mm-hmm. mostly multiplayer, right? I'm sure there's a zombie mode. And the users have scored this at a 3.7, which is painful. Generally yeah. unfavorable. And I feel like there have been a lot of rant videos on this, so I'm not going to spend any more time on it than to say that I feel like Call of Duty is sort of milking it at this point. The graphics get better, but again, the comparisons to FIFA and Madden are I think, pretty accurate. It's a little prettier, a little bit prettier.
But they didn't really, they didn't change much. That was the biggest complaint that mm-hmm. I read, was that it's just like the other versions. And they've been that way since probably right after Black Ops.
I feel like it's a forced obsolescence. Like, they don't want you to play the old Call of Duty anymore. Buy the next one. Now, we've talked a little bit about in the past Call of Duty, how much money they make in the initial weekend, and it's really scary, more than most movie blockbusters, even without COVID around. So they must be doing something right, but I'm not in, and I'm even less interested based on the scores. However, let's talk about Battlefield.
This one's split really, really bad.
So Battlefield, of course, near and dear to my heart. I've been playing Battlefield for a long, long time. Played competitive, played recreational. And I play a lot. But up until now, I've been playing Battlefield 5 pretty regularly with occasional drops back to Battlefield 4.
Oh, we did a first play of the Battlefield 1. Not 1, but the one that was in World War 1.
Yeah, which is 1. O-N-E, right?
O-N-E, yeah.
For World War 1.
Yeah, I will link that down in the show notes, but we did a Let's Play where we had a video.
Still very active communities in all of those. However, Battlefield 5, Modern Warfare, great level destruction, online only, does have a single player campaign that I only play when their servers are down.
It's kind of the trainer version of it.
Metacritic score 81, very nice. Mm-hmm. User score 2.9. Ouch.
Well, and since we have some people that are into statistics, we have the Metascore of 81, and that's based off of 52 critic reviews, and mm-hmm. these are the professional people that go and may or may not be paid to say, hey, this is an 81. The user score, these are the ones that you can fill out. We have a 2.9 based off of 3,014 ratings.
So there are a couple of reasons that Battlefield 5 gets banged on, and we've talked about this a lot, but I'm just going to refresh it for folks that haven't caught one of our Battlefield 5 conversations before. The first is that the launch was a bit of a train wreck, like a lot of a train wreck. Mm-hmm. Servers broken, lots of bugs, silly stuff like phasing through walls and stuff. And it took them a couple of patches over a couple of months to get the game stable. Some people would say maybe 6 months to get this game stable. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that now it is a fantastic game to play, except for point two. There is no effective anti-cheat on the PC version of Battlefield 5. And in fact, I don't think there is an effective anti-cheat on the console version either.
And that's weird, because don't they still control all of the servers? You can't set up your own server?
Yes, that is true. But it seems like the trend for Electronic Arts, and this may not surprise a lot of folks out there, is that when the new game gets announced, they stop supporting the old game, so there is no longer any effort to counter modern cheaters. Mm. So it is nearly impossible to play for any length of time, I'd say more than two maps, without your server getting invaded by an obvious cheater, sometimes a flagrant cheater.
It's like, hey, check me out, I'm going to walk through this wall.
So a large section of playing Battlefield 5, if you're going to spend an evening at it, is A, trying to find good servers, or B, trying to play around the cheaters. However, check it out, and it's cheap or sometimes free right now, so you have really nothing to lose. If you're like me and you're a huge Battlefield fan, you probably already have played or are thinking about buying Battlefield 2042. So let's jump over and see how it's doing so far in just a few days.
Okay, so released November 12th, 2021. For context, we are recording this on the 21st of November.
The release date there is really, if you were a pre-order, technically it released on the 19th. So a lot of people on the fence about this, and a lot of people are going to stay on the fence, I think, because of the reviews. The Metascore, 73, based on 45 critics. Mm-hmm. And the users, a abysmal 2.3. Now, I want to refresh your memory. I just told you guys the new Call of Duty also got a 73, and that's a 3.7. So neither one of them is particularly well rated.
Well, and that's 3.7 based off of 474 ratings.
And climbing. So the difference at Battlefield 2042 is we've got 3133 ratings, and a lot of those folks chimed in from the free alpha beta stuff that you could get into. There was open play as well. So a lot of people, and this is important because COD didn't do this, at least to my knowledge, a lot of those people never planned to play the game. They got into the beta for free and bagged on it and walked away. So I think we should say that, but maybe that's me being optimistic.
Yeah. Well, there was, I think it was Battlefield 4 or it was around that era. Both of us got into the alpha.
Yes.
And I was a little lukewarm about playing it. I played, I think, maybe one evening, but you were in it for quite a bit.
Yeah, I really liked it. Despite the bugs, really, I thought it was, and probably still is, my favorite Battlefield.
So they open up these games for alpha because they're looking for feedback.
Right.
And as I was playing the game, I did not run into any real issues. And I don't know, maybe I was just playing it the way that a very vanilla player would do it.
Yeah, I think our only complaint really was, you know, there were some balance issues, some obviously overpowered guns, but that's pretty common when a game is in early development.
Well, and it seems like this alpha beta sort of release get a few people in to go and try it out and see what's working, see what's not working. And it really could be just like testing load on servers, making sure that the data updates can be sent out and there isn't really any lag. But it seems like these new games, they are taking this alpha beta and stretching it quite a bit. So we have this launch date. It's like it's going to launch on November 5th or no, it's going to launch on November 12th. It might be beta at best.
Yes. Or 0-day patches the same size as the game, as has happened with some of the previous games.
Yeah, that happened with, what was it, Grand Theft Auto 5.
It's essentially a new game.
Essentially a new game, and once you install it, it says, hey, there's a patch. And you just installed 95 gigabytes of game, and now you have to download 95 gigabytes of update. That just seems wrong.
So you've seen this, at least the trailer, I hope, by the time you've seen this. But if you haven't, take a second to go out and watch it. That's okay. But I thought, let's talk about why you should want to play Battlefield 2042. Let's start with the good stuff.
Okay. I do remember from the trailer, the part that I liked the most was the fact that they basically included every previous version of Battlefield.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's a great thing to start with.
And allowing you to change classes and change the ways that you fight.
So the biggest surprise with Battlefield 2042 is, in a sense, it includes all of the other Battlefield games. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a really broad stroke there because that's not entirely true. But they've created a game system that you get for free with Battlefield 2042, like an add-on, called Portal.
Oh, right.
So what Portal does is it allows you to build custom games based on the highlights of all of the old games. And when I say all of them, it's primarily down through Battlefield 1, Battlefield 4, a little bit of Bad Company. So we've got a couple of maps from each. We've got a bunch of weapons. You got all the skins and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so you can set up custom games like any way that you can figure it out. There's a massive programming system. So if you wanted to do, you know, in their trailer, they show defibs versus knives, for example.
That would be fun.
You can. Or you can do, you know, modern tanks versus classic aircraft, you know, that kind of thing. Hmm. And you can pull in different folks. So you can do, you know, Russians versus Italians versus, you know, whatever. So it has a lot of custom ability that's going to let you build a bunch of the games and game modes that came out in the last three or four Battlefield titles.
And the first thing that comes to mind is that that seems like a balance problem.
Yeah, it could be, but it does a lot of interesting things out there. And I think it's going to be something that over time we're going to see some servers rise that do some really cool stuff with the programming. And most of the rest are just going to be trash. Now, let me pause and tell you that since the game is out. The end result of that right now is that there are only a handful of servers out because there's a global limit on how many will show. So you can't always create a Portal game unless there's availability. That sucks. And second, most of the Portal games that are out there right now are experience farms. Five human players against a bunch of one-hit point knife-wielding computer players so that you can level quickly and unlock weapons quickly, which is also a bunch of crap. At least today, that's how Portal is working out. I should point out, however, that they did figure out there was a problem and they've limited your experience in Portal to only 5K, which is about half what you get from a normal regular server to limit the abuse. But expect more on that later if you are interested in that sort of thing. That's not really even my favorite thing. There's no single player. Did I mention that? I should probably point that out real quick.
No single player.
No training campaign, although they do force you the first time you play to play against a bunch of bots until you win a map, which is kind of annoying if you're a veteran. No way to skip it. The appeal to me is the scale of this thing. It's 128 players, and the maps are gigantic.
Like New York size gigantic or Montana size?
Like bigger. I think somebody said that some of them are like 64 square miles if they were in reality. It can become a walking simulator. To counter that, they've made it so that any troop at any time can stop and summon a vehicle, for example. There can only be so many on the battlefield at a time, but there are a lot of them to choose from, especially as you unlock it. So you can pull down a hovercraft, which there's a lot there to talk about, or a jeep, or you know, the dog that you see that follows you around, that droid, that kind of stuff. So it shrinks it a lot. Also, it's shrunk by wingsuits and helicopters and other ways that you can move your mobility, including lots and lots of different zip lines. So scale's great. The maps are great. They're very detailed. It's very difficult to dominate with aircraft or tanks or whatever because there's lots of places for infantry to hide. So really pretty good balance.
Especially for a large map because I remember back, what was it, Unreal Tournament 2004, there was Onslaught maps that would handle, what was it, 32 players or something like that. And you had these different control points that you had to control. If you spawned back at your base, it took you a really long time to get up to where the fight was, and your squad might be dead by then.
Yeah, and that's true too if you don't summon a vehicle or if no one gives you a ride, but the game is clearly trying to teach you that you are going to need a ride to get between these things. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a pro and a con, which is maybe a good way to transition into the negatives because there's kind of a lot.
More negatives than positives?
More negatives than positives. Now, it doesn't ruin the game for me, but the size of the maps is maybe the first thing, and then I'm going to kind of roll through a list. But let's start with that one since we're on it. It is a detriment because you can turn it into a running simulator, and you could get sniped repeatedly before you even get to cover on some of these maps. Very frustrating for newbies, especially if you don't remember to summon a vehicle.
Spawn campers.
So that being said, because the game launch is a bit of a train wreck, hence the negative scores, I want to talk about some of the negatives and maybe drop to the should you buy it, should you skip it, should you wait it type of mentality. So I'm going to have Dennis link to this really terrific post that is a day one list of problems with the game. And a lot of this may be fixed soon. Some of it may never be fixed, but it's off Reddit. It's pretty good. I'm going to give credit to the user Afterlife who posted this, and I know he sourced it from some other folks. But I want to walk through some of these things and be objective because I'm super frustrated, Dennis. The game should be fantastic, and it probably will be. But in typical EA fashion, there are issues. So let's go through them. Number one, and some of these are going to be super weird. Number one, there's no scoreboard.
How do you know who wins?
Well, it tells you how many points are left. So it burns down points like the other battlefield. So you start with, say, 1,000 and 1,000. Every kill removes a point, and if you control the majority burns down the points also organically.
Okay.
So you know who's going to win. It's replaced it with a list of which squads are doing the best. So you will always know your squad's rank and which squads are above you and below you, but you can only see the kills, assists, and stuff for the players that are in your squad. Mm-hmm. So that's number two. There's no scoring system, basically. You don't rack up points. In fact, it doesn't give you points for stuff that's typical in Battlefield, like capturing objectives or following orders, which is really crazy since the entire marketing campaign was play the objective, which all the veteran players say, dear God, please don't play this like God. Please play the objective. But you don't get any rewards for it. And we'll maybe come back to that. There's no stats page. That's right. You don't know how you're progressing. You don't know how soon you're going to unlock things. All you see is how close you are to the next level and how much experience you got on the map at the end of the map. And even that's a little buggy. I have screenshots where the game tells me I earned about 15,000 points, which is pretty typical of an average game. But down at the bottom, it awards me 0 points towards my progression. That's broken. So no stats. All right, I can kind of live with all that because I get what they're trying to do. They want you to not play as individuals. They don't want you to care about the scoreboard. But the downside of that is you can't tell if someone's hacking or cheating because unless that person kills you repeatedly, you don't know that their score is 100-0 or better. And you don't know that their score is 5 or 6 times everyone else on the server. So you can't really see those people, which leads me kind of to the next point. Number 4, there's no server browser. I don't know. In Portal, you can sort of server browse. You can see the servers and join them. Uh-huh. But in all of the core gameplay things, you just say you want to play and it does some sort of matching.
Yeah, it does a matchmaking.
Magic and throws you into a server. So you can't join a server intentionally ever.
I'm going to say there's a lot of games that do that already. What? So it's kind of a common thing.
Yeah, but it has a couple other problems, which leads me to the next one. Players don't carry over to the next match. The lobby completely disbands and starts over. 2042, if the map isn't full of players, will populate it with AI players. They're better than you think, but they're still obviously AI players. Mm-hmm. And as players join, the AI players will be replaced, which sometimes means that the player that you're shooting at disappears in front of you because someone's joined and replaced them, which is kind of interesting, mm-hmm. until the server fills. But unlike every other game I've ever played, when the match is over, you don't replay it with maybe balancing, maybe not balancing, rematch if it was close, whatever. You just take your squad to La La Land and get thrown to another server. And there are only a handful of maps. I think there's 8. That sounds right. Mm-hmm. And it randomly chooses a map. So you might never see all the maps, or you might play the same map 5 times in a row. There's no rotation. It's just completely random, like it starts over every time.
And you have different players every time, right?
Except for your squad, yeah. There's no real class system. Now, this is a big deal. Both Call of Duty and Battlefield have had classes for years, and so you might play as a medic, and a medic has special abilities, special gear, even special skins. Battlefield's gone away from all that by introducing a specialist system. So there's about a dozen specialists. They have names and emotes and stuff that reminds me more of Vanguard or something Fortnite-y than Battlefield. All of them have access to all of the weapons and gear, which is cool. So you can play as a medic and carry a rocket launcher and mines or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Which you couldn't do in any of the other previous titles. And each specialist has a specific ability. So there is a specialist that has the wingsuit that you see in the preview. He's the only one that can use it. There's a specialist that has the grappling hook, which is a little over P, and only one guy that can use it. And it goes on and on. The medic that can heal you at full health and that sort of stuff. So that's replaced it. So I like that I can play whatever games I want, but I don't like that I can only play specific specialists. And what I really don't like, Dennis, is that both teams use the same specialists. So at least right now, when you're playing and you can't see the dot over somebody's head, they look like you a lot of the time. You can't tell if they're friend or foe because their uniforms don't look different. It's the same freaking specialist until you see the stupid red dot over their head, which sometimes doesn't appear. Go early access, right?
Yeah, actually, that was my biggest problem with a lot of the multiplayer games is that I could never tell who my enemy was.
Well, over time, your experience, you get so at a glance, you can say, oh, that guy is an enemy. He's probably a sniper or he might be carrying a flamethrower or whatever. That doesn't happen right now in 2042.
It probably never will.
All right, so let's talk about 7. This one's not as big a deal for me. Kind of more like Call of Duty. No factions, no friend-enemy distinctions, and I think I kind of covered this. Everybody looks the same. There's not even color differences, like you get a red armband or whatever. Nothing. If you can't see the dot over their head, you can't tell if they're friend or foe. It's ludicrous, and it's a little buggy. All right, number 8. Removal of movement mechanics. Now, Battlefield has always been kind of famous for having all kinds of interesting ways to move. So here's the list as of launch of what they removed. Leaning, backwards prone, backwards crawling, crouch sprint, jumping, high vaulting, midair leaps to grab ledges, diving, vaulting out of windows, then rolling, stumbling, collusions, melee takedown animations from different stances, knockbacks from explosions, revive animations, throwing back and shooting grenades, et cetera, et cetera. That's a long list of going backwards on things that Battlefield made great. Now, the one thing that I kind of agree with is part of the next one. Well, the overall movement has a lot of good things, but it doesn't flow quite as well. The one thing that I really don't like about Battlefield 5 is the slide mechanic. You can run and slide, and it's really easy to abuse. It reminds me of the old dolphin diving mechanics in the early Battlefield games. Some people pull, that's all they do is slide back and forth, which looks super silly and unrealistic. I guess trying to say Battlefield is realistic is a little silly anyway, now that I think about it. But they have nerfed it a little bit. You can't slide as far. It's a lot harder to slide. So, all right, overall movement's a little bit nerfed. It might be a good thing because it's been replaced with things by grappling hooks and wingsuits. All right, so weapon animations. Yeah, they're kind of gone. You can't look at your weapon. The reloads and stuff are pretty basic. I have spawned where my hands are visible, but no weapon.
that's fun.
That's pretty entertaining. Imagine that won't last very long. So if you're a realist, the weapon animations in the last couple Battlefield titles were one of the high points. The sound's very distinct. The animation's very distinct. All right, there aren't very many weapons in Battlefield 2042 right now, and not a lot of distinction. No squad spawning screen. All right, well, so in the game, you can spawn on a spawn beacon if you've unlocked one. You can spawn on a vehicle or a friendly if they're not in fire, or you can spawn on a friendly spawn point. I'm okay with that.
So you can't pick where you want to spawn?
You can, but it doesn't give you any preview. You can't really see what's going on.
Oh, right.
What it's trying to do, I think, is prevent the rubber banding in Battlefield 5 where you try to spawn on somebody and they come under fire, and so it tells you midway through you can't spawn on them. So you rubber band. Okay, got it. All right, let me come to this next one. It's really one of my major complaints, sound. I gotta hope they're going to fix this. Battlefield 5 has incredible spatial sound, and you know I'm a big headphones guy, surround sound, 3D, the whole shebang. 2042 sounds muffled. You can't tell positionally where sounds are. Sometimes you can't even tell if there's a tank about to run you over. When people are shooting at you, you can't always tell where the shooting's coming from, so you have to see if there's a tracer effect, look for bloom, which is also muted. When you're walking and there are other soldiers around you, they all make the same sound, and you can't really tell where it's coming from. So frequently I'll find myself standing somewhere, either sniping or trying to figure out where I'm going or calling in a vehicle, and I can hear sound, but I can't tell where it's coming from, so I have to look at the mini-map and see if there's a friendly player near me or not. If there's not, then I try to figure out where that person is by basically, you know, freaking out. That's huge, and it's got to change. Okay.
Freaking out.
I've talked about 13 already, decreased weapon variety. You only start with a handful of weapons. You'll have everything in the game unlocked by level 65. If you're not unlocking a level every map through at least level 20, then you need more practice. So it's not as bad as it sounds, but you know, in Battlefield 5 and even Battlefield 4, there are dozens of weapons and dozens of attachments, and that is way not true so far in 2042, but maybe they'll patch that in.
I'm sure they will.
Lesser destruction. All right, so this is a huge one. All the previews said they were going to get bigger maps with more destruction. One of the major reasons people like the Battlefield franchise is levolution, right? The buildings fall down, or you can shoot the bridges or destroy the houses. Yeah, you can kind of do some of that in the new one, but at least in the maps that are available now, I mean, there are indestructible skyscrapers and bridges, and you can kind of shoot the sides of some small huts and houses, and yeah. There's no set pieces, nothing. Siege of Shanghai is my favorite Battlefield map, and in that game, you can cause the building in the middle to completely collapse, changing the entire battlefield. Yeah, I remember those days. That's only two games ago. You'd think they'd have gotten better.
You'd think they would be able to just kind of pick it up and move the mechanic from one engine to the next.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what the Frostbite engine's famous for. So if there is destruction on the maps, it's pretty basic. All right, 15. Can't take health ammo from players that are carrying stuff. Nope. They have to set it down for you. And then it prints a little friendly circle, and if you stand in it, you rearm. All right. I'm okay with that, but it is a step backwards. You used to be able to run up to somebody carrying ammo, take their ammo. Can't do it anymore. Can't zoom on the mini-map. Okay, they've kind of changed that. It's no longer a complaint. It's just done a little differently. It has two kinds of sprint, one that's tactical, one that's not. Tactical makes you faster. Has no negative. Why would you need two if you're always going to tactical? Maybe that'll change. All right. 20 says lack of overall cohesion of gameplay elements and no soul. That's an opinion. All right. 21, Lack of Imagining Music. The music in 2042 is kind of garbage. It's remixed versions of Battlefield 5's theme. It sounds like, not as clean, clear, and fancy. It used to crescendo as you got close to the end of a map. It doesn't anymore. Now you just get weird static. All right, whatever. 22, vehicle customization. You can customize your vehicles, but you have to unlock the stuff. There are skins. They're pretty basic. It's hard to tell the difference at any distance. Squad management. All right, this is another big one. All right, so you cannot join a squad that is already full. You cannot kick a random from your squad. You cannot leave a squad and stay in the same game. You cannot join a friend that's already in a squad on their server at all, ever. So in order to play with your friends, you have to get them into your squad before you join a game. And if one of them leaves, you have to hope that another buddy joins before a random. Also, if you are trying to join a squad, you are sitting on a map that does not tell you're in a queue, how deep you are, how long it's going to take, nothing.
It's just like on hold at tech support.
Yep, you just sit and wait and hope that you're going to join a game. It's terrible. And up until very recently, you can't squad chat. There's no in-game voice chat of any kind. And they just barely added team chat, I guess, to get rid of the toxic environment of the chat.
Yeah.
And you can't chat with the other team at all, although I've heard that's going to change.
Huh.
Which is actually 24. There's no chat. You can't talk to anyone on the other team, but that's okay because you'll never see them again after this map ends anyway.
Yeah.
And lastly, 25, editing loadouts is really challenging. You can't do it in game. If you unlock something, you have to leave the game, add it to your loadout, and rejoin the game, which is already difficult. You have to change on the fly. It only remembers your core loadouts, which you have to set outside of the game. Good news is you can change in the game, but you're limited to what you can use. It uses a T menu that looks like it was designed for console. I'm getting used to it, but it's a little awkward. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that I can switch from a long range to a short range version of my gun while I'm running across a patch of desert. But that's 2042 for you.
Yeah. Going through this list and listening to you talk about it, it really makes me feel that when they were developing this game, they had a grandiose idea to bring in these multiple versions of the game.
Yeah, very
and,
cool.
And of course, you can just kind of pick it up, drop it together. But getting those games to work together is probably really, really difficult. So they had this grandiose plan, but to implement it and to be able to get it out into the hands of gamers so that they can improve it, they had to nerf a lot of things.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So a lot of what you mentioned right now really kind of, it addresses the hacking issue a lot. And by forcing people to change maps and to change squads, you know, just to basically exit the game and restart, that I think is probably one of the biggest anti-cheats that's probably going to be in the game probably forever.
Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it.
The other stuff about no vehicle customization, some of the stuff that's in-game, that is probably just the limitation of trying to make sure that the game is playable while giving them the ability to add the portal aspects later.
Yeah, and I can see that too.
They way they can kind of force the balance. You know, because you can have like a World War One, you know, single bolt action rifles. Well, they would have to increase the damage on those if you're going to be fighting against a team with automatic weapons. So by limiting the amount of weapons that you can add and weapons that you can add to your loadout, that kind of is one way that they can enforce balance. But of course, it seems broken now because you're expecting something. And some of this is really just more or less, you've played the game. You know how each one of these different games has been released and how you play each one of those games. And right. Of course, each one has its own way of playing, its own weapon loadouts, and everything about it is unique. Well, now you're combining all that stuff. You kind of have to pare it down before you can expand it. And they just didn't have enough time because they wanted to get this game out. Absolutely.
And I think that's why we're seeing such low scores. And like I said, Battlefield 5 had a rough start also and has now become really pretty fun to play if you can avoid the cheaters. Mm-hmm. All right, I guess I should probably wrap it up with some sort of, you know, review, right? Not just a complaint.
Well, yeah, we want to do, okay, this is, I think what we're going to do is we're going to wrap it up with Darren's real life, I've played this game, I've played them all review, and then I'm going to link down in the show notes to a YouTube video of us playing this game, and Darren can give his colored commentary as we are actually playing it.
Let's do that. I think that's great. All right. So if you've made it this far, thank you. I hope that you love Battlefield as much as I do. So 2042.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it, skip it, wait.
Oh,
I bought it, and I bought a premium version that includes all the DLC because my experience with Battlefield in the past is they're always kind of bad until the first content drop. Mm-hmm. They're not bad, unplayable like some games, but yeah, incomplete.
Incomplete.
So I'm that guy that's the pre-purchaser, but if you're not a huge Battlefield fan, this is a wait game. Definitely don't buy it.
Wait until like February?
I would wait till the first DLC comes down, which is probably, going to be first quarter, and then come back to it. All the bugs hopefully will be fixed. They'll have changed some of the balance issues. There'll be more DLC, maybe more unlockable content. The downside is that if you're the kind of guy that doesn't like to be behind on unlocks, you're going to be behind. Everyone else is going to have a lot of cool weapons and gear that you don't have. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's a lot like Titanfall, where if you play it on day one, you will be level 100 and be able to pwn all the noobs by day two. It's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, no, it's a little different in that, you know, you have playable weapons right off the get-go. Battlefield's always been better about that. In fact, there are some starter weapons in Battlefield 5 that people still say are the good ones. It's not as bad as some of the others like Call of Duty. If you don't start early, you're going to get mowed by helicopters and stuff. Lastly, I feel like I should mention the specialists. I think they were designed to be monetized. They're going to start selling stuff, skins, whatever. Yeah. And so that kind of bothers me. We haven't even talked about Hazard Zone, which is sort of a King of the Mountain thing, because I don't like that.
Well, getting rid of the classes, for instance, is one way that, yes, you can be able to do knives against paddles, right? Mm-hmm. Because that way you can be across all classes. Now, the specialist thing, I think, is just their way of saying, well, we can't get away from classes completely, so now we're going to do it this way.
Yeah, and that makes sense if you look at all the competition out there, right? You have specialists, they have funny emotes, they all look different, and you can sell them outfits. And so I feel like that's the future of Battlefield. With Portal, they can retire all these old servers and stop supporting the old games because you can play them in 2042. So why do we need to support the old versions of the games? So it's kind of a forced obsolescence there. Yep. If that appeals to you, then maybe buy it now.
I would be lying if I didn't say that I think Fortnite kind of influenced EA a little bit in the way that this game is progressing.
Yeah, I agree. Well, all of those kinds of games. In conclusion, realize that all EA developers must have less than 5 friends because all squads are only 4 people, and feel bad for them. and nice. Take that with a grain of thought. I do like the game. I'll continue to play it with hope that it continues to improve.
Yeah, well, let's check out the gameplay on YouTube.
Let's do it.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes at hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2021. Thanks for listening.